Morning.
You can tell a lot about a person by what makes them angry. It reveals their highest priorities and their deepest insecurities. Some people have anger from events they have never dealt with properly in their lives. Some use anger as a mask for other emotions, such as hurt or sadness. It can come from bitterness, jealousy, and envy. Anger is a secondary emotion that it always is a response to another thing. If left unchecked, anger can cause emotional problems, relational problems, and even lead to murder. Many people, if asked today about General George Patton, would call him a great American hero. But on a hot August day in 1943 along the northern Sicilian coast, Lieutenant General George Patton slapped a soldier. Arriving at the 15th Evacuation Hospital for an inspection, the general moved along the ward. There he met the only errant coward Patton claimed to have seen in his army, sitting trying to look as if he had been wounded. When Patton asked about his injury, the soldier replied he just couldn't take it. As one of the doctors remembered, the general immediately flared up, cursed the soldier, called him all types of a coward, then slapped him across the face with his gloves, and finally grabbed the soldier by the scruff of his neck and kicked out of the tent. A week later, Patton repeated the scene at the 93rd Evacuation Hospital, also in Sicily, where he slapped another seemingly uninjured private. These episodes, collectively known as the slapping incidents, are among the most well-known facts about Patton's career. At the time, they tried to keep it under wraps. Nobody wanted the media to let it come out, but it did eventually come out, and people were divided over it. They wanted to fire him. But they did not. Little is known about what Patton actually knew about shell shock. Most remember his courage and ability to lead men into battle, but I am certain the men and people surrounding this incident clearly remember his temper more than most. As many economic and social issues increase more and more weekly, an increasing number of people are under more stress, and this can lead to short fuses. After going through works of the flesh, and fruits of the spirit in the middle school class, I decided to give a talk about anger. I think anger, if unchecked, can easily turn into rage. Anger is a common emotion that most deal with a lot throughout their lives. But have you ever been angry and made a comment or decision that you regret to this day? Do you find yourself quick to anger and responding out of anger more than not? Have you struggled with getting your anger under control? If this sounds like you, we have good news. For $9.99, you can get our best-selling anger management kit, complete with live online support. But on a serious note, isn't this what most people are looking for every day? A self-help book or program that has all the answers to fix you and was written by a multimillionaire who doesn't have a struggling bank account or four kids that know how to push the right anger buttons? These programs and books don't work because they usually address the wrong issues. Most of them state if you become happy and focus on the positive, you will become a new, better you. The problem with this happiness doctrine is that happiness usually depends on what happens. And in reality, everything isn't perfect every day. In other books and programs, anger is demonized and it portrays people being happy in every circumstance, not showing any other emotions. Let's look at what the true guide to fixing problems, the Word of God, has to say about anger. Well, to start, we know that God gets angry. The anger of the Lord was kindled occurs in 18 verses in the King James Version. In 5 verses, it states the anger of the Lord was hot. Numbers 11:1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Judges 10:7. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. In Jesus' time on earth, he got angry. He was angry with the self-righteous religious leaders of the day. I know most everyone is familiar with this passage in John 2. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. In these instances, we see God righteously angered, a response to a negative action on man's part. Anger itself is not a bad thing. There are many examples of righteous anger in Scripture. David was angered that Goliath mocked God. Moses was angered when Israel made a golden calf. It is given to us from God. He gets angry when we sin and disobey, and we have these same characteristics when our children or people close to us sin and disobey. Just like God, we are angered at injustice, when we see the helpless hurt or taken advantage of, when people are treated unfairly, or the innocent are killed. Even when we see God's word used inappropriately, this angers us. It is normal to have righteous anger. But sometimes in our anger, we say and do things that just can cause more anger and problems. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The Greek word for grievous used here is etzib, and it means pain, hurt, or offense. Anger is a response to a pain, hurt, or offense. When we get angry, we should be careful not to try to hurt the other person with grievous words, because it is most likely going to cause more anger. It is difficult sometimes more than others to respond with kind or soft words, but it is very possible. James 3:2-10. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Slow to anger has to do with patience. When we are impatient, we are quick to respond in anger. I believe patience is easier for some than others, and most people gain more with age and experience, I'm told. When you are quick to respond in anger, you are often regretting more than you should. Anger can do strange things to people. It can lead to hatred and even murder. Many times in prison interviews, you will hear the murderer say that they were just so angry with the victim at the time of the murder, and how they deeply regret it now. Saul loved David in the beginning and was angered enough with David that he sought his life. 1 Samuel 18, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. As you can see in the beginning of this situation, Saul very much favored David. He put him at the head of his house, up with his son, and over some words that somebody else said, he sought to kill him from this day forward. He seeks him all over the place. And when David has the opportunity to slay him, he does not do it. Then we have an example of Jonah's anger. Jonah 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the Lord? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Both of these examples from the Bible have something in common. Their anger comes from pride and selfish ambition. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Righteous anger is not what we see as being righteous, but what the Lord deems righteous from his word. Just as Saul wanted to kill David, and it seemed righteous to him in his selfish ambition, so can we think the same. James 4:1 through 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Unrighteous anger comes from sin. Upon going through the works of the flesh with the kids downstairs, we see that a lot of these sins go hand in hand. You have more than one at a time. So I ask the question, can a Christian have anything in their lives that would be considered works of the flesh? And the answer is yes. We a lot of times are immersed and put away extreme things such as drugs, alcohol, fornication, adultery, theft, or whatever the extreme is, and forget wrath, strife, hatred is on the list as well. The big question is, how do we overcome these things? If anger is a God-created emotion and it is normal to have, how do we keep from crossing the threshold into hatred, wrath, or strife? I gave the kids an assignment for a couple of weeks. Week one, examples of how you used works of flesh and fruits of spirit. Week two and three, examples of how you used works of the flesh and what you did to change it. So briefly, we are going to go through what I believe is the answer to combating anger. Number one is identifying there is a problem. That is why I gave the assignment. We need to be aware that we have a problem or sin in our lives before we can take steps to fix it. This requires honesty with yourself. When identifying anger problems, begin to ask yourself, is this righteous anger? Meaning, would God be angry about this? Or is this unrighteous anger? Meaning, it stems from selfish ambition or desire. Sometimes we cannot identify the sin on our own, and we need to be confronted in order to see the problem. We are in denial or unaware. 2 Samuel 12:1 through 13. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. As soon as David was confronted, he was able to see his errors for what they truly were, which is sin against God. Number two, combating anger once it is identified. Repent and use the scriptures. Repentance is always what we must come back to when dealing with any sin. Most of the works of the flesh are done away with fruits of the spirit. It's hard to hate someone you are loving towards. It's hard to have wrath when you are practicing self-control. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Your response to situations is going to be critical in your success. Thinking upon scriptures like these constantly and making an effort to apologize when we are wrong is key to success. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Number three. We may have to give up things that are making us angry. If the news makes you angry, don't watch it. If your job causes you to be negative and wrathful, maybe it's time to get a different job. If someone you surround yourself with daily is a source of anger and frustration, then try to talk the problems out, calmly addressing the issues. If this does not work, then you may need to limit contact with the person until the issues can be fixed. Make a conscious decision to deal with any past hurts or any other issues that you have not dealt with that could be fueling your anger. Fill your mind with the things of God, and this itself can make a huge difference. I find when I am listening to the songs on the YouTube channel from the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ. Those things stick in my mind all day long and put me in a better mood when I am thinking on those things. When I'm in the Word daily and reading and remembering what I had read previously, those things make a huge difference in my life. When I'm neglecting the things of God and I'm filling my mind with the things of the world, it's easier to act like the world does. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have struggled with anger throughout my life, and I have not perfectly got it under control. But through the scriptures, accountability, a willingness not to remain the same, and patient, loving people, I've been able to make great strides in overcoming anger. If you are struggling with sinful anger or any other thing this morning, and you want help, or if you would like to be a part of the kingdom by obeying Jesus Christ in immersion for the forgiveness of your sins, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.